You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Tuesday, March 9th. This is The Christian Commute, and you're joining me mid-commute because I had to stop at Wendy's and get some dinner. I work till almost 6, and now I have a baseball practice at 7. Three of my kids, as I've said, are on the same baseball team, and I am meeting them at the park, and I won't have time to get something to eat beforehand. And what you don't want in any situation is a hungry Seth Dunn, because I get hangry. I mean, that's in any situation. You never want a hangry Seth Dunn. Hangry and autistic do not mix. But then put in some little kids who are trying to learn the fundamentals of baseball, and that just makes for a potential disaster. But now I've had enough food to eat, so I can just calmly, kindly, and gently teach these kids, keep your glove on the ground. Throw it straight. Keep your head still. Because I'm not hangry. So I feel good, but I had to scarf down my Wendy's. They're here on I-75, so I started the show late. And I saw a Cadillac at the Sketch gas station today. For those of you who are familiar with the Sketch gas station, long-time listeners, the Cadillac pulled up, stopped, and left. So that was the nicest car I've ever seen at the Sketch gas station. He didn't stay long. But let's get down to the show topic. I have to stop at the post office to get some checks, but I think what I'll do, I'll just pause the show when I do that and go straight on to Dillinger Park, because I think I can do about 30 minutes, maybe 39, we'll see. And I don't want to sell today's show short, because it's kind of a big deal. Today's show title is Beth Moore Leaves the Southern Baptist Convention. Yeah, you heard it right. Beth Moore leaves the Southern Baptist Convention. I wish I would have known that yesterday when I did my Beth Moore update. Don't worry, her Lifeway cruise is still on. And I wonder if good old Hoke might show up today. I don't know. I'm making no promises to talk with Miss Beth Moore about leaving the convention. I have a question in the inbox about the golden calf, or specifically idols in the Old Testament. And as always, we have the Bible chapter review. Today we're at Mark chapter 15, verses 22 through 25. Mark chapter 15, verses 22 through 25. So Jesus has been scourged and mocked. The soldiers have sarcastically bowed down to him as the King of the Jews. And he, along with Simon the Cyrene, has been forced to carry the instrument of his execution, the cross, to the place Golgotha, which, according to Mark, is translated the place of the skull. In King James language, we refer to this as Calvary. Right. But Golgotha was the name of the place. That's where Jesus and other criminals were crucified. And Mark says that the soldiers who were with him tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. Now, what this would have done is lessened the agony of the experience of being crucified. This would have been not like a pain reliever, not a dulling agent, but it would have put his mind somewhere else. Wine with myrrh makes pain more bearable. So what they were doing was trying to show him mercy, even these wicked Romans, by giving him wine mixed with myrrh, because they understood that crucifixion was an awful way to go. So that was a way to lessen somebody's pain during the crucifixion. But Jesus refused it. He refused it not because it was wine, and wine is an intoxicating agent. They weren't trying to get Jesus drunk. Don't get me wrong. But this would have been, in a way, an intoxicating agent or something that dulled his senses or his mind. And we can presume that Jesus wanted to have his wits about him on the cross. Because he has words to say on the cross that carry meaning for us today. So Jesus refused the wine mixed with myrrh. Not because it was wine, but because it was mixed with myrrh. So they crucified him, and they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. So what possessions Jesus had, what his clothing, the soldiers took it. You know, why let it go to waste? He's going to die. They basically flipped a coin or rolled dice for it. That's what casting lots is, by chance. And that's how they decided how to distribute his clothing. And he was crucified at the third hour, Mark says, which would be about 9 a.m. as we view it. 9 a.m. was their third hour. So we think of midnight between 1 as our first hour, but that's not how they viewed the day. 9 a.m. was what they called the third hour. So Jesus is being crucified in the morning. You want to crucify somebody in the morning in case it takes them all day to die. Because at the end of the day, you're like, all right, I'm done with this. You're going to kill them anyway. You're not going to leave them up there for 2 days, I don't think. All right. I'm trying to pass somebody in the far right lane. It's a Ford Escape with dealer tags. Going real slow. All right, let me navigate this situation in the Kia Soul. This is not exactly a zippy car. Don't speed up. Come on. Now you're going to stick me between these tractor trailers. Now I'm stuck. Now I'm going to be stuck in this lane even further back. Darn you, Ford Escape. I don't know where your tags are from, but it's probably some wicked state. All right, let me get over. So they crucified Jesus at 9 a.m. And the inscription above him, because this is a capital crime, if you're being crucified, you're essentially a criminal being charged with a capital crime. And his charge or his crime was being King of the Jews. So they sacrificed, or not sacrificed, well, it is a sacrifice, I guess. It's an atonement. They didn't know they were doing it. They executed him. And the final salt in the wound was calling him King of the Jews, because they didn't believe he was the King of the Jews. They meant it ironically. But we know that Jesus was truly guilty as charged. He was and is and will forever be the King of the Jews. He is King Jesus. And that marks the end of the Bible chapter review. The pause is because I was drinking my Coke. Every sip makes me less white. All right, let's see here. All right, Frank from Maryland writes into the inbox, do you have a question about Christian theology or apologetics? You can dial SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com, or you can dial 470-315-0875. Sending me your question about Christian theology or apologetics. Keep it short. Tell me where you're from. Frank's question is this. Why did the Jews make golden calves for idols? So we know the story of the golden calf in Exodus, when Moses goes up the mountain to get the law from the Lord, and he's taken a long time. So the Jews, who are often stiff-necked and faithless, they tell Aaron, we don't know what's become of Moses. Make us a god to worship. So they melt down their jewelry. End with an R, start with a W. Not easy. They melt down their jewelry and they fashion it into an idol. No! No, 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 no. Oh, gosh. What's going on? I got traffic. Phone, you failed to tell me. All right, what's going on here? I'm going to get over. I'm going to get off on Cass White Road. I'm not getting stuck in this traffic. I don't know how to get home from Cass White Road. The show just got longer. What is going on here? Excuse me while I navigate. Okay, sorry, false alarm. So it looked like traffic was going to get really bad because everybody was slowing down and there were cop cars. But now that I'm on the exit ramp, I see that traffic is breaking up. It was temporary, and the computer is telling me to get back on I-75. So that was a useless delay. What was I talking about? Golden calves. All right, the story of the golden calf in the Exodus. I'm making a sharp right into the ramp. I'm going straight. And, sorry, I was talking to the navigation lady. I thought I turned. Off you go, navigation lady. All right. Golden calf. I'm getting there. They make this golden calf, and we all know the story. Moses comes down off the mountain. They're worshiping the golden calf as if it is the god, or he is the god who delivered them from Egypt. And in a sad bit of irony, Moses has the Ten Commandments, which say, don't make unto thee any graven image, and that's exactly what they've done. God's furious and Moses is furious. But why a calf? They could have made anything. They could have made a bird, a fish, a wolf, a horse, anything. Why did they make a calf? And that's Frank's question, is why did the Jews make golden calves? Golden calves? A golden calf or golden calves for idols? And the answer is because that was an Egyptian-style idol. So if you think about the plagues of Egypt, remember the 10 plagues of Egypt, the plague of the frogs and the plague of the livestock and the plague of the flies and turning the Nile into blood, killing the firstborn, blocking out the sun. All of those plagues, those were not random plagues. All of those plagues are designed to show how feeble the Egyptian pantheon is. Because there's a god over all of that for Egypt. So Egypt has a sun god, Ra, for example. So they have their god of the sun. They have their god of livestock. They have their god of every little thing. And those 10 plagues go through every little thing, and the God of Israel cripples Egypt, and Egypt's God of that thing can do nothing about it. That's not spelled out in the text. You just have to understand stylistically what's going on. It's communicated in the lesson, but it's not spelled out. And one of the gods that Egypt would have had, or one of the types of idols that Egypt would have been a golden calf. So that's the type of idols the Israelites knew because that's what they grew up with. So what's an idol supposed to be? Oh, it's like a calf. That's what we had in Egypt. And remember the complaints of the Israelites when they left. Oh, we're out in the desert. At least we have food in we had food in Egypt. Now we've been driven out here to die under this Moses. So that's them turning back to Egypt and turning away from Yahweh by making that Egyptian-style god. So that is the reason, Frank, they made a calf, because that was an Egyptian-style god, and that's what they were used to. All right, now, let's go on to today's show title, Beth Moore Leaves the Southern Baptist Convention. So there was an article published today in Religion News Service. It was an interview with Beth Moore. And in that article, Beth Moore stated that while she is still a Baptist, she is no longer a Southern Baptist. Furthermore, Beth Moore's publishing deal with Lifeway is over. She will no longer publish books through Lifeway, nor will Lifeway be the administrator of her Living Proof Ministries activities, like conferences and stuff. Because that's how Beth Moore makes her money. Number one, selling books. And number two, giving conferences, like going places and speaking, and having Travis Cottrell play music. And Lifeway used to administer the Living Proof conferences. It was almost like LPM, Living Proof Ministries, was a brand of Lifeway, almost. And you guys have to understand, Beth Moore's been publishing through Lifeway for, I think, 30 years or more. But now someone else is going to publish Beth Moore's books. So not only is Beth Moore saying, I'm no longer publishing through the Lifeway, through the Southern Baptist Book Company, I'm not a Southern Baptist. And this is Big news! Beth Moore is the quintessential Southern Baptist woman, and now she's saying she's not Southern Baptist anymore. We have to wonder what changed. But before we go any further, I just want to point this out. Beth Moore is a member, unless she's changed churches, and I don't think she has. Beth Moore is a member of the Bayou City Fellowship in Houston, Texas. And if you go to SBC.net, that's the Southern Baptist Convention website, and you type in, search for churches, and you type in Bayou City Fellowship, it will pop up as a Southern Baptist church. So unless Bayou City Fellowship has left the Southern Baptist Convention formally, and Lifeway is not updated the site yet, because it's Lifeway who updates that part of the SBC site. Churches are registered through Lifeway. Then Beth Moore is not telling the truth. Beth Moore still is a Southern Baptist. So let's make a distinction here. There's no such thing as a Southern Baptist person. There's only a Southern Baptist church. So all the churches are independent, and it is the churches that are members of the convention, which, by the way, the convention only exists for 2 days a year, if we're going to get real technical. And you can even find this information on the FAQs of the Southern Baptist website. There are no Southern Baptist people, only Southern Baptist churches. So I, Seth Dunn, I can't join the Southern Baptist Convention because I'm a person, and neither can you. You can't do it. But if you're a member of a Southern Baptist church, your church can be a part of the Southern Baptist Convention, and therefore that makes you transitively a Southern Baptist. So when anyone says, I'm a Southern Baptist, what they're saying is, I'm a member of a Southern Baptist church. It's not them saying, I agree with the theology of the Southern Baptist Convention or their general positions. Because lots of people can do that and not be Southern Baptist. Technically speaking, I'm not a Southern Baptist right now, because after I was excommunicated from fellowship at the demonic church of Freemasonry, Roland Springs Baptist Church, I joined Fellowship Baptist Church of Sydney, Montana. And then I just drank some Coke. I joined Fellowship Baptist Church, and Fellowship Baptist Church formally left the Southern Baptist Convention. So even done, have a degree from a Southern Baptist seminary and agree with the Southern Baptist confessional statement and attend a Southern Baptist church, because I don't live in Montana. I go to First Baptist Church of Cartersville. I'm going there tomorrow. I'm going there Sunday, Lord willing. Even though I attend a Southern Baptist church, even though I went to Southern Baptist Seminary, even though I was baptized in a Southern Baptist church, I'm technically a Southern Baptist. But if somebody would say, Seth, you're Southern Baptist, aren't you? I'd be like, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but I'm not, technically. Now, Beth Moore can say to Religion News Service, she's not a Southern Baptist. But as long as she's a member of a church that affiliates with the Southern Baptist Convention, she is a Southern Baptist. But at least as a person, as Beth Moore, as an individual, she is choosing to no longer identify as a Southern Baptist. And we have to wonder why. All right. I'll leave it up to Beth Moore to say why. But what I smell, here's me smelling. Can you hear me smelling? You got to use, that's two senses, hearing, that's me using my sense of smell and you using your sense of hearing. I smell a Weinstein situation. Y'all know Harvey Weinstein, you remember this story. The owner, the president of Miramax Studios. Big time movie executive. Everybody in Hollywood for years knew he was a creep. They knew he was a creep. Everybody knew this. It was not a secret, like an open secret. A creep who molested women. Everybody knows this about him. But they worked with him anyway. Because in Hollywood, you got to build up to where you are. And then eventually, Harvey Weinstein was canceled in the cancel culture and Me Too movement. And, you know, I'm not a big cancel culture guy, but Harvey Weinstein's in jail, and that's where he belongs. But everybody who Harvey Weinstein helped make famous, your Gwyneth Paltrows of the world, your movie stars of the world. They're rich and famous because they didn't reject Harvey Weinstein and what he had to offer and his network. When they were little 20 and 21-year-old nobodies who'd never been in a movie and never won an Oscar, they said, well, this guy's a creep, but I'm going to work for him. And they got rich and famous this way. And now that they're rich and famous, oh, Harvey Weinstein's a molester. Put him in jail. And I see kind of the same thing with Beth Moore. Because now Beth Moore is starting to repudiate the historic conservative leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention. The Paige Pattersons of the world. Oh, the SBC is misogynistic. Oh, the SBC has held women back, etc., etc., etc. And you have to wonder, did Beth Moore just now realize how the politics of the Southern Baptist Convention worked and how the theology of the Southern Baptist Convention worked with respect to women in ministry? Did she just now realize that? Or, or is Beth Moore now so rich and famous on her own that she no longer needs the Southern Baptist Convention and the network of its leaders and Lifeways book publishing? You see, the economy has changed. The way people go to market has changed. When Beth Moore first came along 30 years ago, coming out of, I never can remember if it was First or Second Baptist Houston. I think it's Second Baptist, John Bassanio's former church. When she first came out of there, we didn't have the internet like we did today. I mean, 30 years ago, I was 8. I had Prodigy dial-up internet on like a 14.4 modem. If you wanted to publish books and get it to somebody, you couldn't self-publish through Amazon, and instantly your book's available on a website for anybody. There was no blogging. It's totally different. I don't have to tell you guys how the marketing models and economy have changed because of the internet. You needed a large network. Beth Moore, if she was going to be popular, needed the Southern Baptist and Lifeway network back then. Now she's the most famous female Bible teacher in the world, maybe in history. Does she need Lifeway? Does she need to give Lifeway a cut of Living Proof Ministries conferences? Does she need to give Lifeway as a publisher a cut of her books? No, she can do it herself. And what's interesting is Beth Moore's books are still going to be sold by Lifeway. They're still going to distribute her books just like they distribute any kind of Christian book, Southern Baptist or not. Here's another interesting reality. Lifeway no longer has brick and mortar stores. It's just a website now. If you want to order books through Lifeway, you have to go through the website. There's no more stores. Brick and mortar bookstores have been going out of business for years. Used to, when you walked into a Lifeway, right in the front, there was a big display of Beth Moore books. Beth Moore can no longer get that type of in-person, end-cap display by Lifeway, so why does she need them? Beth Moore is rich enough, and she has millions of dollars in her ministry. She's now rich enough and powerful enough to publish on her own. Now that she's rich enough and powerful enough to publish on her own and market on her own, she doesn't need the Lifeway machine. All of a sudden now, the Southern Baptist Convention is full of misogynists that hold women back. The Southern Baptist Convention is full of a bunch of wicked people who voted for Donald Trump. I see them for who they are now, Beth Moore might say. I see them and how horrible they are now that I don't need them anymore. Does that sound like a lot of integrity to you, or a lot of, I'm old and I'm going to do whatever I want? It's like an old person. You ever around an old person and forgive them of the crassness? Old people, you notice the older people get, they'll just start burping and farting and there's no excuse me, and they're just like, old, I don't care. All right? That's how I feel about Beth Moore. She's had this in her, I believe, for a long time. But now that there's no cost, she's not a Southern Baptist anymore. Forget that she made millions off of Southern Baptists, turning the women in the wrong direction the whole time. But now she doesn't need them. And I also want to point this out. All right. Now, I'm not condemning nepotism. I'm not. But Beth Moore's daughter, Melissa, works for her. So Living Proof Ministries is, you know, a 990. It's an official nonprofit. But it's basically Beth Moore's small business. Just like my friend Derek, my best friend Derek, his dad Johnny, used to own Ray's Wholesale Meats in White, Georgia. And it was founded by Johnny's dad, Ray. Right? And they sold meat. They sold restaurant supplies. So who took over? Who took over for Ray? Johnny. Family business. Who did Johnny hire? Derek and Shauna, his sister. Could he have found more competent workers? Absolutely. I know. That's my best friend. I know. He could have found better workers, but he hired his family. It's his business. And they knew how to get the job done, that they got a job. You know who else Johnny hired? Me. That's nepotism too. He could have went out and got any computer nerd guy right out of college. He got me. Well, I'm Derek's best friend. I'm like family to them. That's nepotism. All right? It's his business. It's his right. And when you have a family business, you want to prepare your family members to take it over one day, because you're going to leave it to them. You got to teach them how. And when you have a family business, you come up with these little jobs like secretary, administrator, and these little $40,000 jobs. If you're going to pay somebody $40,000 at least, why not pay your kid? Why not? It's your money. So you got Beth Moore has hired Melissa Moore. Melissa Moore, you can find this on the Beth Moore 990s. Melissa Moore has worked for Beth Moore for years, and her salary keeps progressively going up. It's pretty high now. If I had to guess, it's somewhere about $80,000, maybe more. It may be in the six-figure range. But she used to be a research assistant. I don't know what her job is now. But if you think Beth Moore is woke and kind of getting liberal, look at Melissa Moore's Twitter feed. But here's what's interesting. Melissa Moore has started to write Bible study books along with Beth Moore as co-authors. Kind of like getting into the family business. Like you have Skip Carey doing the Braves announcing, and then you have Chip Carey. You know, Chip Carey, Skip Carey, Harry Carey, baseball announcers. Now you got Beth Moore and Melissa Moore. Again, I'm not condemning nepotism on its face, but what makes Melissa Moore qualified to be a Bible teacher? I mean, what makes Beth Moore qualified? Now, when you look at Melissa Moore, Melissa Moore is a liberal woman. I think that's fair to say just from how the public opinion she expresses on Twitter. When it comes down to things like race and sexuality and the left and right, put her on the left of those things. She's also divorced, so she's a divorced woman, which we know biblically is insane, and it wasn't what we might call a biblically justifiable divorce. Her divorce papers, Elizabeth Prada, the blogger woman from Comer, Georgia, put her divorce papers on the internet. It's like personality conflict. So Beth Moore has a daughter named Melissa who is unbiblically divorced and liberal. Do you think Lifeway wants to publish books by Melissa Moore? Probably not. So now that Beth Moore wants to nepotize, to make up a word, to use her daughter as a co-author, whose life experience is working for her mom as a research assistant. She basically gets paid $100,000 a year to be Beth Moore's daughter, and that's no different than any other rich person, except this is a quote-unquote ministry. Sorry, that's another Coke pause. I upsized it in medium. Not the healthiest decision, but I want a little more oomph today. Had a lot of caffeine today. I could keep on going on this show because I had a Mountain Dew today. I don't usually drink soda. I'm Mountain Dew, Coke, woo! Tea. This is the most drugs a Baptist takes, is caffeine, and I am doped up right now. Woo! Caffeine. All right, woo! Like Ric Flair. All right, here we go. What are we talking about? Sorry, I got distracted by drinking a Coke. Oh, Melissa Moore. In Southern Baptist world, Melissa Moore is a liability. So here's another reason why Beth Moore not only doesn't need Southern Baptists, but now they're going to hinder her from, you know, the payola deal she's going to have with her own daughter. And Beth Moore wants to preach to women. Beth Moore has been condemned outright by fairly prominent Southern Baptist pastors for this, specifically Josh Bice. Now, she still gets into the big churches. Steve Gaines, Jack Graham, that'd be Steve Gaines is Bellevue Baptist. Jack Graham is, what's the name of his? It's a big one in Texas. Both of those guys are former Southern Baptist. Preston Wood, former SBC presidents. I think she's in. Yeah, you'll have to Google me on this. In with Robert Jeffress, too. Like, she could have a conference there. And when you think of these mega churches, they're nominally Southern Baptist, too. We're in a post-denominational age. These mega churches don't need the SBC. Robert Jeffress doesn't need the SBC. Jack Graham doesn't need the SBC. They're getting to a place where, yeah, the SBC can give them conference money and stuff, but they got so much money they can just work their own deal with TBN. Like, Robert Jeffress is on TBN. What does he need the SBC for? He can get his big money. So at zero risk to herself, Beth Moore has abandoned the Southern Baptist Convention for what I think have always been her liberal, unbiblical convictions, or lack thereof, about female preaching. And what we're going to find is what we've known all along, that Beth Moore is a charismatic progressive. And now she's old enough to live like one. If I was still a Southern Baptist, I'd say good riddance to you, Beth Moore. But I'll just say this. I'll say, so long, Beth Moore. You've been a bad friend to us. And if you want that book, you can find it at Amazon.com. Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. I'm your host, Seth Dunn. Lord willing, I'll be with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.